Praise the Lord, everybody. Glad to be in church tonight. Amen. It's good to be in God's house on this Wednesday night. Amen. Good to see all of you here loving the Lord. Amen. It's a good thing to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. There's no other place that I would rather be than in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for what He's doing. And I'm glad to be a part of the church at a time such as this. I believe the Lord is soon to come back, and I believe that this is the greatest time, amen, to be a part of the church is today. Amen. I'm glad to be in Ocala. Amen. Life Tabernacle. Thank you, Brother Kasner. God bless all of you, saints of God, being faithful to the work of the Lord. Amen. It's good to have my family with me tonight. Amen. I'm glad they're here and worshiping the Lord with us. And I told them I felt special tonight. They traveled with me to go and hear me preach. They hear me preach all the time. And they come be with us tonight, and I appreciate it very much. Amen. Thankful for what the Lord is doing. I give praise tonight to the Lord. Last night we had a young man get the Holy Ghost on a Tuesday night Bible study. And amen. I believe the Lord is still in the business of changing people's lives. Amen. Giving people the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm glad that God is still working. He is still moving among His people. And I'm expecting Him to do something great for us before we leave here tonight. How many come expecting the Lord to do something for you tonight? Amen. Did you come and say, well, we're just going to have another Wednesday night service and we'll go home and say we've been to church? I trust that you didn't come with that attitude or that mentality tonight, but you come that with a hunger and a desire for the Lord. Amen. If you have a hunger for God, the promise of the word of the Lord is that He will feel that. Amen. And I trust here tonight that you've come with a desire to receive from the Lord tonight. And if you haven't, I pray before you leave here that there will be something that would happen within you that you leave here differently than you've come tonight. Amen. If you open your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 20, Jeremiah chapter 20, I want to direct your attention to the word of the Lord. I do feel that the Lord is working and is looking for people that has a passion for the things of God. And I'm going to tell you, you won't live for God very long if you don't have a passion for the things of God. And it's very, very, very important that we know, amen, that that there's something worth living for. There's something worth dying for. There's something, there's a life to live, amen, for God that is the greatest thing, amen, this side of heaven. And it makes living life worth living, amen, whenever you live for God with everything that is within you. Amen. If you're not living for God wholeheartedly, then you're struggling living for God. Amen. If you're not living for God with everything that is within you, then you're struggling in living for God. I'm going to tell you that when you live for God with everything that is within you, it is an easy life. It's a good life. It's not hard living for God. It's just selling out. Amen. Telling God that whatever, whenever, however, I'm going to live for you. Amen. And it's a good life. And when you live that way, it's not hard. When you live for God with everything that is within you, it's not hard. People say, well, I just can't live this way. You know what that tells me is that they're not really, really trying. Amen. They're holding on to something. Holding on to something in the world. They're holding something on to something in their life. Amen. If you let go of all of those things, it's a good life. It's an easy thing to live for God. Amen. Amen. I'm just telling you here tonight that whenever you'll just sell out, you'll do it wholeheartedly. It's not hard. Amen. 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 It's a good life living for the Lord. Hallelujah. Jeremiah chapter 20, a very, very familiar setting of Scripture. And I want to direct your attention. I'm going to pull out one verse of Scripture. And I will let you be seated, and we'll visit Jeremiah 20 throughout maybe this little bit of Bible study, preaching. what the Lord would have for us here tonight. Pastor Bass, just act like you're at home. I've done been asked tonight how long I was going to preach, and Brother Mike said, well, he can preach a long time, so I'm going to try to be conscious of the time, but he told me to act like I was at home and just teach and preach, so I'm going to do that. Amen. I didn't get to teach or preach last night, so we might get two in one tonight. How about that? Amen. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9, this is Jeremiah speaking. He said, then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Amen. Notice Jeremiah said, I'm just not going to do it anymore. But he said his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. Amen. Fire in your bones. Amen. There's something about it that when we think about things that we can't not do. You know, you ever say, well, I just can't not do this. I've got to do it. Anybody got something in your life? You just say, I've got to do that. If I don't do anything else, I got to do this thing. I can't not do this. I might let a lot of other things do, but I can't not do this one thing. You know what that lets me know? That lets me know that there's a passion for what you think that you can't not do. There's a passion for it. It could be a number of things, and you just say, well, I'll let everything else go, but this one thing, I'm going to tell you, if I don't do nothing else today, I'm going to do this. That's what you're passionate about. That's what you really, that's what you live for. And that's what makes the world go around, is people that has a passion. Jeremiah said his word is like a fire shut up in my bones. There's a passion, something burning within me. Amen. I want to talk about that just a little bit. Talking about fire in your bones. Amen. Let's thank the Lord for his word. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your anointing here tonight, God. Oh, Jesus, I love you. I love you, God. I love you, God. I love you, God. I love you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for what you're doing, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, let's love him tonight. Come on, let's thank him for his word. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Jesus, we love you tonight, God. We thank you for what you're doing in this house. Oh, let there be a fire burning within us before we leave here tonight, God. God, I pray right now, Jesus, that you would help us, that you would help us. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Jesus, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you. You could be seated tonight, amen, just for a little bit of time. Amen. There are many stories that we could relate. There's people that we could talk about that we know that it is the power of passion that abounds in our world. We know people that has been passionate to do a lot of things. See, whenever they have a passion for something, it doesn't matter. It cuts across racial and social lines. Passion knows no bounds. Passion is something that it gets on a person, and they are driven to do something. We know, maybe you know somebody. I know people that are driven. They have a passion to do things, and when you tell them they can't do something, it builds a fire that great, much greater in them, that they're going to accomplish some things because
They made up their mind that I'm going to accomplish. I'm going to be successful, and they have done that. We've lived long enough, and we've seen them live long enough to have fulfilled some dreams and reached some goals. You've seen people, it didn't matter, they might not have came from an upstanding background or whatever it might be, but they made up their mind that they was going to be different, and they made up their mind that they was going to make something out of themselves, and it was that kind of person that you see them being successful and making it in this life. Amen. It is something about it that when you talk about passion, when you talk about something that makes a person tick, it's that causes them to get up in the morning. And when they get up in the morning, and it's what drives them throughout the day, and it's what puts them to bed at night, they have something burning within them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. See, there are some choices in life. All of us have to make choices. But there are what we call some passions in life. Praise the Lord. There is some things that you gotta do because it's a choice that you made. But there are some things that you have a passion for. It doesn't feel like that anybody's making you do it because you see it as your passion. See, some people feel like that they got to go to church. Others feel like I get to go to church. Praise the Lord. I got to praise God because if I don't, somebody's going to think something's wrong with me. Come on, somebody. Let's be real here tonight on this Wednesday night. You know, there's some people, they say, well, oh no, it's Wednesday, or oh no, it's Sunday again. It's family prayer night again, and I gotta go do this. You know what? You don't feel that way when you go into the mall. You get to go to the mall. You get to go fishing. All the ladies say, man, somebody now, y'all don't. Hallelujah. There's something about it that when you feel like that, I get to do some things. It makes all the difference in the world about the time that you spend. If you feel like that you had to come to church tonight because somebody was going to check on you, somebody was going to worry about you, then you're missing the point of being in the house of the Lord. But if you've seen, oh, thank God, it's the middle of the week and I get to go to church and I'm going to be in the presence of an almighty God. Oh, I'm going to tell you, you don't feel like this is wasted time. You don't feel like you're marking time tonight, but all just to be in His presence means everything to me. Oh, somebody clap your hands to the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. See, there's some choices, and then there's some passions. Some folks, when they left here Sunday, they was already coming back tonight because they knew, if I can just get back to church, if I can just be in the presence of God, if I could just praise Him one more time, oh, what a privilege it is. I'm going to tell somebody here tonight, it's a privilege to be in the house of the Lord. It's my passion to be in His presence. Nobody's making me do what I do. Amen. It's more than a choice. It's a passion that I have to live for God. Praise the Lord. It's a passion that I have. I really love living for the Lord. I love being in the house of the Lord. Amen. What a passion. It's that it's went beyond a choice. See, to too many people around us, they feel like, and it appears to them that we are making a choice. Amen. You know, you've made this choice, and this is what, and you know, they say it that way. You've made this choice that you're going to live this way. You can't. You know, you can't think for yourself, and you can't do what you want to do, and. Anybody encounter folks like that? They say, "What you mean? You gonna go to church 3 or 4 times this week? You making that choice? No, that's not a choice that I made. That's the only option that I have because it's my passion." Praise the Lord! It's something that is burning within me. There's a connection to a God, amen, that is infinite in wisdom. I understand that God has all things. Everything that consists in my life, it's wrapped up and it's tied up in God. If I don't have Him, then I don't have anything. I can't live life without Him. I can't walk without Him. I can't talk without Him. I can't breathe without Him. I've acknowledged that and I've accepted that. And it's my passion to have a relationship with this God that I serve. It's a passion. I don't have any other option. It's something that's burning within me. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. When we look at the prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah was a prophet like all of the Old Testament prophets. I'm going to tell you, Jeremiah was just a little bit stubborn. Jeremiah was a very single-minded individual. You would have had to have respected him. And at the same time, he was that person that would drive you crazy. Because Jeremiah had a message from God. And he's going to deliver that message no matter what got in his way. He was going to do what he had been called to do. Although he was that man that was stubborn and single-minded, he was also a man that was tender as well as tough. Praise the Lord. He had a fountain of passion, amen, that was within him that overflowed. He was the weeping prophet. Although he was a man that had that message, he was a man that wept over the transgressions of Israel and the state that it was in, because he had such a passion. He knew what God desired for them to be and to do. But it seemed that his message was falling on deaf ears. It seemed that everything that he had tried was failing. But he still had something. He still had something to do. God had given him a job, and God had put a passion within him to match the job that he had given him. Praise the Lord. When you talk about people of passion, you're talking about people that are heartfelt people. They have a joy, but at the same time, they have a sorrow. That's why that we understand that Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. He had a passion to press for repentance. And while he was pressing for God's people to repent, it seems that he lived a lifetime where there wasn't much accomplishment at all. He wept because of the blindness of Israel. He wept because of the passing of a great nation, the legacy of David and Solomon. He wept out of sheer frustration at a life spent calling out to those that seemed to never hear what he had to say. I'm going to tell you something. When you live for God, you got to understand that not everybody's going to appreciate the way you live. Not everybody's going to understand the light that you have. Oh, but you've got to understand here tonight that no matter what anybody else says or does, you've got to stay the course and fulfill what God has called you to do. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There was that intense desire. And while there was an intense desire, while that fire was burning within Jeremiah, there was also that intense frustration and grief. Amen. You gotta know here tonight that whenever you began a journey of passion, and you began doing something for God that's out of the norm that you have always done up to this point, there's going to be that tries to put the fire out of your life. Praise the Lord. But you got to understand here tonight that Jeremiah's passion was rooted in God's call. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5 says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Praise the Lord. Whenever you know that God has called you, God has a plan for you as an individual. Before you were born, from the foundation of creation, before time itself, praise the Lord, He knew you just like He knew Jeremiah. Praise the Lord. If He is so detailed that He gives you your own fingerprints, your own special DNA, that they can take a hair from your head and identify who you are. I'm telling you, God is interested in who you are. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And whenever you know that God is interested in who you are as an individual and that He has placed you in Life Tabernacle for a purpose. Praise the Lord. I said that He has placed you here for a purpose. He has given you a job that you need to sell out to and you need to become passionate about. Then you can know that God called you. And when God calls you, then He is going to equip you for the job that is before you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so He knew you before you was. Praise the Lord. And that passion has got to be rooted in that call. God, you know me. And I know me. And if you still place this burden and this call on my life, then I'm going to trust you that you're going to make a way for me. Praise the Lord. The second thing is that Jeremiah, like all of us, has that resistance. We all resist when God begins to deal with us. In verse 6 it said that, oh Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto him, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth His hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Amen. We have the ability to second guess what God is telling us. What shall I say? You get paralyzed by that fear. I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm too inexperienced. I have too much experience. I had somebody tell me recently, say, I've lived for God too long to teach a Bible study. And then I have them tell me, I don't know anything, Pastor. I can't teach no Bible study. I'm gonna let this one do that, and I'm going to let that one do that, and I'm too young, and I'm too old, and I'm too... When God touches your heart and your mind, you know what? We always put up that resistance of that. I can't do that. Not me. Now somebody else can. And I know God would like for that to get done. But you know what? That's not for me. Let me tell you something. God wouldn't give you the job without giving you the skills that you need. He won't give you a goal without giving you the means to get there. Praise the Lord. He is the equipper. He has all the talent. He has the means. He has the possibilities in His hands. What He needs is somebody to say, you know what? Just count me in. Count me in. I have resisted. I've given all my excuses. But for every excuse, God, you have an answer. For every reason, you have a way out of this. And so here I am, God. Here I am, God. I know that you're going to be with me. I'm going to tell you, it starts with one step in the direction that God has called you to do. You just got to make yourself available to the things of God. I know I'm preaching to people here tonight that God has burned you and he has somehow touched your heart and your mind to do some things. It might be some prayer meetings. It might be some fasting. I don't know what all God has called you to do. I'm telling you here tonight, whatever it is, God will make a way for you if you'll just step out by faith and say, God, I want to be what you have for me to be. I don't want to stay where I've always been. But I want you and everything that you have for me. Oh, let's clap our hands to the Lord. Come on, let's praise Him. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Come on, let's praise Him a little bit in this house. Man, God knows what you're capable of doing. The reason that He calls you to do what you're to do. Amen. Then when God told Jeremiah that I knew you, then he was persistent in his calling. Third thing is that God warned Jeremiah that there would be obstacles. Verse 19 says, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver you. He said, they're going to fight against you. Can I tell you, that's really an understatement of what happened. Jeremiah was beaten. He was locked up in stocks. He was publicly humiliated. Jeremiah was writing things, and the king cut the scrolls containing Jeremiah's prophetic message and burned them. Praise the Lord. Telling you everything that Jeremiah, God had put in his heart, it seemed that there was a nation and there was a king that was in total opposition. Jeremiah met resistance. Sometimes it was very painful resistance. And it was every step of the way. Praise the Lord. I want to tell you something about it that, Jeremiah did cry out. Praise the Lord. In misery to God. Why has it got to be this way? Why can't they see the truth that you have shown me? Praise the Lord. Amen. The Lord was telling Jeremiah that the pain comes with the territory. Praise the Lord. Amen. That there's something about it that whenever you get involved. Hallelujah. When you get involved. If it was easy and assured, then you wouldn't be passionate about it. You know, there's something that happens is that when there's a passion for some things, if it was just mundane things, then maybe God could have accomplished it with just a committee. Just with some folks just gathering around a committee table and saying, let this be. But you know what? It takes some sweat. It takes some blood. It takes some tears. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, if you feel like that God called you and placed you in this church so that you could just sit around and be comfortable, hallelujah, and have all of your ever little wants met and just sit around all of your life and take it easy, then you're missing it. It's not about this, that at all. This is a warfare. This is a job. This is take somebody that has a passion. I want to involve myself in the things of God. I don't want to just show up 3 or 4 times a week, but I want to involve myself in the battle that rages for the souls of mankind. I want to be in the battle for the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, there's dominions and there's authorities. I'm talking about strongholds of sin and corruption. Oh, it's that warfare, amen, that we find ourselves in. People come to church and they come to God, and God helps them and delivers them and sets them free. And man, it's the greatest thing that ever happened to them. And then they find out that it's not the playground, but it is a war zone. The devil didn't want them to be where they were. The devil wanted to hold them captive. And they think, man, I never had so much trouble in all of my life. What in the world ever happened to getting up and just going through the day and never having no struggles and never having no problem? God has called us to win the battle. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I've done figured it all out. I'm on the winning side. I just got to stay in the fight. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, there's something about it when you start doing something for God. Opposition is going to rise up to block your path. Amen. We've been trying to build a church for a year. Trying to have church for about 7 years now. Trying to build a church. I'm trying to build a convenience store or a nightclub. I'd have had a permit a year ago. Amen. The world doesn't want there to be a church. Satan doesn't want there to be a church in Apopka, Florida. Can I tell you that the difference about this church and every church that's on this road and in this city is that there's something different. There's an opposition. You know why? Because this is God's church. The kingdom of darkness is trying to prevail against the kingdom of light. Praise the Lord. You might feel like that you're just a small number in a multitude of people, but you got to understand, the darker the night, the greater the light. You might be just a little match, so to speak, in a dark world, but that little match in a dark world can put off some light. And you got to know that tonight, that whenever you are doing something for God, there's going to be plenty of things coming around trying to stop you and oppose you. But you got to plant your feet and square your shoulders and say, I'm in this to the end. I'm going to see it through. I didn't start to quit, but I started to finish. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, he said, you've fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. Oh man, we don't like this part of the message. Let's skip over this. Let me tell you, the devil's got an X painted on you. He wants to take you out of this church. Little you. Yeah, little you. Can't even testify. That's who he wants. Praise the Lord. Why isn't he satisfied with your family members and everybody else that drove by this church today? Why isn't he satisfied with just keeping all of them and leaving me alone? Because you're a threat. And you're going to suffer some things when you take a stand for what is right. Your family's going to make fun of you. People's going to talk about you on your job because you don't live like everybody else lives. You mean that you're not going to do that, and you mean that you don't do that, and you mean, and they're missing the whole point. They think that you're so restricted and you can't do anything. You got to understand that you're going to suffer some things, and evil men and seducers is going to wax worse and worse, and deceiving and being deceived. But you got to continue the things that you have learned and has been assured of. No knowing of whom you have learned them, and that from a child you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You understand that for every trial, there's a way out. For every test, there's a testimony. For every persecution, there's a victory. For every battle that you face, you're going to come out on the other side shouting the victory, because God is going to make a way out of no way. You just got to stay in the fight. Oh, somebody ought to help me praise him here tonight. You might be in the heat of the battle, but stay there, because God is going to bring you through. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, there's been times, I'm going to tell you, I've lost a whole lot of hair, and what I've got left that's hanging on for dear life is turning gray. Amen. But I've made up my mind. I'm not going to give up, and I'm not going to give in, and I'm not going to back up, and I'm not going to back down, but I'm here to stay. Oh, I said I'm here to stay. I preached around church Sunday night. The best is yet to come, because I am enthused about my future, and I'm energized about my assignment. Come on, come what may. Oh, but devil, you come too late to stop the church. The gates of hell's not going to prevail against the church of the living God. Come on, I'm still excited. I said I'm still excited. I'm still happy about living for God, because I know for every test there is a testimony. There is victory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, somebody ought to help me love him on a Wednesday night. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I know it's Bible study, but I feel the Lord here tonight. See, what you rest in is that God promised to deliver Jeremiah from the obstacles. They're going to fight, but they won't prevail, because I'm with you, saith the Lord, to deliver you. Oh, when I know the devil's fighting the hardest, that lets me know that God is with me. And the enemy's not going to prevail, because God is with me. God's never lost. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God didn't promise Jeremiah that he would get him out of all the difficulties. He promised to bring him through them successfully. We pray, God, take me out of this. God, take me out of this. God, take me out of that. God, take me. God, take me. What you need to start praying is, God, take me through it. God, get me through this. I want to come out on the other side. It's a dark night, but joy's got to come in the morning. Come on, there's pain and there's suffering, but there's got to be a miracle somewhere on the other side of this. It's a dark tunnel, but there's light at the end of the tunnel. I just got to go through this. Quit trying to get out of it and learn to go through it and say, God, I know that you're with me, and I know that you're going to deliver me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have some tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome. Woo! I have overcome the world. That's the difference right there. If he dwells within me, then I am an overcomer. Come on, some of you got scared to say it. You almost said it. You whispered it. You ought to have just shouted it out. Huh? I am an overcomer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We understand that when it's all said and done, we win. There's a happy ending. I said, there's a happy ending to this life. Amen. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Amen. It's time for somebody to stoke the fire or just retire. Amen. Somebody needs to say, hey, you know what? I'm not going to settle for the smoke if there can be a fire. Why should I settle for seconds when I can have the best? Why should I settle for just standing on the sidelines saying this is the way it used to be? If it used to be that way, it can still be that way. If it's ever been, it can always be, because our God is the same tonight as he's ever been. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I understand that Here we find that Jeremiah was, he'd gotten pretty low. He got pretty discouraged. And verse 7 of that 20th chapter said, "You've deceived me and was deceived me. And they're stronger than I am. And they prevailed, and I'm in derision daily, and everyone's mocking me." Verse 8 says, "For since I spake, I cried out, and I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, and a derision daily." And he said, I won't even make mention of him, nor speak anymore. And Jeremiah had gotten pretty low. He said, "You know what? I ain't even going to talk about it no more." See, at times when it seems that everything and everybody is working against your most passionate efforts, sometimes you think, "You know what? Who really needs this anyway?" If you don't think that from time to time, I question whether you really are trying to make a difference. But I'm going to tell you something. Not everybody that I come in contact is excited about what I'm excited about. And I wonder sometimes when people say, "Well, you know, I've never had a bad day and never nothing ever went wrong. And I struggle with that person. I'm afraid they can't tell all the truth." Unless they have given in to the enemy and they're just going with the tip flow. Somebody that's going against the tide and pushing and pushing, there's going to be days that you just feel overwhelmed, frustrated, tired. Praise the Lord. You did your best, and it seemed like the best you could give wasn't good enough. Hallelujah. It's a passion. It's a passion. Something that keeps you ticking is what makes you go. See, in business, and I'm hurrying to a close. In business, business people talk about opportunity cost. And opportunity cost are what a company incurs and miss revenues if they maintain a current course. Or an example, if one company, certain company, chooses to manufacture and market a product, and they say, "We're going to do product A instead of product B," they got to figure out as a cost what they might have made by marketing product B instead of product A. So that they call it. They call it opportunity cost. They make a decision. Now, if one of these products are going to make the most money, and we got to decide if we go strictly with product A, then how much money are we going to lose if we don't go with product B? We got to decide, because we can only do one of two. And they make that decision, and they make a decision based on how they feel what is going to make them the most money. All of us has opportunity cost in life, because every decision we make automatically excludes us from other options that we might have pursued. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to be honest with you that nowhere are opportunity costs greater than in the pursuit of a vision. Because, see, passionate people often are pioneers. Many times they labor alone, and they wait a long time, and it's frustrating years until they see the benefits of the choices that they made. They encounter the opposition. I'm going to tell you, passionate people many times second guess themselves, wondering, you know, what would have happened if I would have took this path instead of the path that I have taken. I'm going to be honest with you here tonight. Sometimes it seems that it's easier to go along, to get along, but that's not what passionate people really do. I'm going to tell you, passionate people, their goal is not acceptance. It's a loyalty to their vision and their call. Praise the Lord. There's going to be some opportunities missed. And I'm going to be honest with you, some of the opportunities might have brought greater financial rewards and fewer headaches and fewer backaches and more companions. But you know what? Your passionate pursuit, if they don't ever produce those things, that's not why you chose it anyway. You chose it because it was something that you could not help yourself. You had to do it because God had called you to do this. What you find in Jeremiah was that Jeremiah didn't retire. He just rekindled the sparks of that inner fire in the face of opposition, in that temptation to quit. He just kept doing what he could not do because there was a passion within him. Oh, God, I've got to do this because this is what you have called me to do. See, it's a conviction. You're not all in it for just the results. I'm not saying that results are not important. But passion is always directed toward a goal. It's that passion that I can reach the goal that becomes the fuel that says, hey, God, you're going to do it. God, you're going to do it. God, you promised it to me. I'm going on with you. I'm reaching for you. Praise the Lord. I'm reaching for you. I'm reaching for you, God. I'm not going to retire. I'm not going to sit down on the sidelines and say I'm too old or I'm too young. I'm too inexperienced or I have too much experience. But God, count me in. I want to be a part of the revival. I want to be a part of the harvest of souls. I want to be a part of the ministry of Life Tabernacle. I will involve myself in what you're doing. Whatever my hand finds to do, I'm going to do it with everything that is within me. I want to be on fire with a passion for the things of God. Hear me tonight, church. If you have a passion for something, why don't you go for it? Why don't you say, God, help me. I want to be a soul winner. I want to be somebody that reaches somebody for you. I want to be a prayer warrior. I want to be the pillar in the church. I want to be involved in what you're doing in this last day. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Somebody needs to rekindle that fire here tonight. Somebody needs to say, God, I want to burn with that passion. Hallelujah. Jeremiah said, I'm just too tired. I'm too wore out. I can't do it anymore. But that wasn't where it ended. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. You know what? There's a key here. I'm going to tell you the key. Very, very deep thought here. Passion carries with it obligation. Jeremiah was excited, maybe somewhere along the way, but he found out, you know what? I'm obligated to this. I can't cut and run. I can't show up when I want to show up, not show up when I don't want to show up. I'm passionate about this. I'm involved in this. So this is my life. You know what? People, whenever God and church just fit somewhere in their life, they're not people of passion. They don't do very much for God. But when God and the church becomes the hub of their life and everything spins out from that, well, I could take that job, but I can't miss church. I would go there, but that's prayer meet night. I would. Amen. It's how you view what you have, and it's a passion for it. Something burning within you here tonight that, oh God, I'm preaching to people tonight that know, oh, there's something more to living for God than what I've been doing. I got to get involved in the things of God. Hallelujah. See, life is like a canvas. You determine what you put on the canvas. You make life what you want it to be. Living for God is like that. It's how much fire you got in your belly. How much fire you got in your bones. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, something burning within me here tonight. There's something burning within you, God. There's a work that needs to be done. You ever burn to see something accomplished? Somebody came to my house the other night, or the other day, and there was a telephone repairman, and he was working on phone lines, and he sat at my desk, and he sat there, and he said, "Man, I'm sleepy, so I'm so tired, I apologize." He said, "But I had a room that had to be painted." And he said, "I stayed up late." He said, "I only got a couple hours of sleep." And he said, "I had to be back at work, get up at 5 o'clock. You know what? He had a passion to paint a room. You know, you got to get up at 5 and you stay up to 3. You know what I mean? I'm going to just be honest with you. You know what he was saying? My job is secondary. This room is more important than my job. You got to understand what I'm saying. Is that because if his job was that important to him, he'd went to bed so he wouldn't go to sleep in my chair. But you know what we do? We work to pay our bills. And we get off of our job to do what we love. What? Oh, come on now. Come on now. Why? Because it's what you have a passion for. Some people love their jobs. I had a pest control man, and there's pest control people here. I had a pest control man that came to my house for 7 years. He loved his job. He loved his job. He got up in the morning excited about coming to my house to spray for bugs at my house. He got it. I'm telling you, he was excited. He loved it. He would just crawl around and move stuff and pull stuff. And he knew every little detail and every little thing. He loved what he was doing. He went home to a grind, but he loved his job. Because he had a passion for it. He wanted every little school, every little detail that he could get. He just wanted it because he loved what he was doing. Let me tell you something. Living for God is that I'm out here doing my job here today. But while I'm doing my job, I'm giving an honest day's labor for an honest day's pay. But I'm telling you, this is not really my occupation. My occupation is in another kingdom or another world. I'm doing this. But God, while I'm here, I'm loving you. I'm thinking about what I can do for you while I'm on my job. Whatever it might be. You might drive. You might work with your hands. You might sit at a desk. I don't know what all you do, but somehow you understand there's a passion for the things of God. My life revolves around God and the things of God. I can't hardly wait to get back to church. I can't hardly wait to get back in His presence. Oh, hallelujah. Stand with me. I'm quitting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and love the Lord in this house tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.